Everybody?
All right, yes. Here we are. About ready to discuss the namesake. I'm Richard.
Rudy.
Jane.
Nancy.
Steve.
Fatima.
The namesake.
Well, the tie-in to the last one apparently is family.
One of our members, colleagues, friends in this group said, why bother seeing that film? I mean, another film about culture.
Cross-cultural.
Cross-culture.
Right.
And like that. And I think it's very important to see a film like this. I felt.
I will agree that I think it is important to see a film of this nature. But I don't think this film really did a very good job at addressing cultural issues. I was very disappointed in this film. Oh. Don't throw anything at me.
Yes.
Just about yourself.
There's the opportunity to really address those kinds of issues, and I just don't think it did so very extensively or effectively. I didn't even think the acting was all that good in some cases. In some cases, in a couple of scenes, I thought,
for example,
like when the main character learned that his wife had had an affair. I mean, I thought that was poorly done. I came away from this film feeling that my life was more interesting than his life, and my life has not been interesting. it just was flat, and also visually, maybe it was just where I saw it, but it was dark and it was hard to see.
Where did you see it?
I saw it out at Stonestown, UA Stonestown, and it was really a dark screen. It was really wasn't well done. But you know, independent of that, I agree with what you said, but I don't think that this film did that. I was so disappointed.
My biggest problem with this film was the main character. I felt that the story was about him going through a transformation, and I don't think he went through any kind of transformation. He was the same to me through the whole movie, and they try to present the story that, okay, when his father dies, he shaves his head and he does this and that, but I don't think he went through any kind of transformation. He was just the same character all the way through the movie. I don't think he matured anything. I don't think he looked at life any differently or anything like that. And that to me was the biggest flaw. I think the person who went through the biggest transformation in this movie was the mother, and what the mother went through. And I thought she should have been the main character of this movie, and the movie should have been more centered around her.
I think part of what you're saying is what I'm referring to when I say it's flat.
Yeah, he doesn't change. He just...
No arc.
But one of my favorite lines was in this movie, though, when he asked that girl, how did you become so hot? And she says, Paris. But there were aspects of the movie that I thought were really good. I mean, like the character of the mother I thought was very good. I'm wondering if anybody else had this experience at the movie, though. When the scene when the Caucasian girlfriend comes into the funeral ceremony and she takes her jacket off and the audience gasps because her shoulders were bare and things like that. In the theater. Did you have the same experience?
There were about six people in the theater with me.
Okay. It was pretty crowded.
Well, it was reasonably crowded today, and there was a tightening of the breath.
It was packed when I went to see it.
And
was there a gas?
It was.
I didn't gasp, and I didn't see anything wrong with her being dressed the way she was. And the people in the movie obviously didn't see anything wrong with her being dressed the way she was.
The audience in the theater gasped, not in the movie.
Because they felt she was doing something wrong by being dressed the way she was.
I think you missed something. There is a reaction in the scene.
No,
there is a reaction from the women
of her pretty much.
Yes, no, they did.
They
weren't going to kick her out. They weren't going to say, "Hey, look at that." No, but they did react.
They
kind of embraced her to cover her up.
Yes.
In a very subtle way.
You know what I noticed? I didn't notice or didn't have the reaction to the bare shoulders, at least not consciously. But what I noticed is she walks in. Of course, she's the only Caucasian there.
No, she isn't because they're the librarian friend.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yes. But everybody else is in white.
Yes.
And she's in black. Mm. And, of course, black for her is what you wear to a funeral. But
there's a clash right there.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. That's what visually got me. It's like she sort of... stands out like a sore thumb because she's black in a sea of white.
Well, and she's black and blonde in a sea of dark hair and white. Right. And she, I mean, well, yes, in the book they develop that relationship more between him and her, but she is the only child of a very privileged family, and I think that came through here.
In the book, is the sister, his sister, at all more developed?
Not much.
She was pretty much very peripheral.
Not much. True to it. So the minimal arc that I feel like he went through, the point when his father dies, he steps up to his responsibility and goes to Cleveland, identifies the body, clears out the apartment, comes home, and there was much more angst around, am I going to shave, am I not going to shave, am I going to shave, am I not going to shave?
Oh, he goes through that?
Yeah, in the book, there's much more thinking about that decision, and then he does it.
This seems like...
It's just
the thing to do, right? Yeah. I remember my father did it, I'll do it, right? There was no angst about it, but in the book, it was much more troubled decision. And, and he stays with his mother, and he celebrates the mourning period for as long as necessary. I don't remember her going to India and dumping the ashes in the Ganges in the book, but maybe she did. I mean, I remember there being these very minimal experiences in India and long stretches of U.S., and there was much more India in the film because it's so visual and wonderful and such a contrast with the gray of New York and the color of India, and the industrial... of America, much steel and the architectural steel and then the sort of vernacular and
decay
and all that,
decay
right?
And color.
Decay and color, right? So, I mean, I think those were contrasts. But then the other business about the way in which the wife has the affair is much different. She's having the affair with is different in the book. In the book, she's like writing her dissertation, having a hard time, trying to decide if she's going to go for an academic job, gives up the Sorbonne job and doesn't tell him that she's giving it up, but feels like it's the right thing to do. And that we don't ever hear the story of how she broke off the first engagement. Right?
No.
And in the book, that's a big deal. It's like, are we going to find out? Yes, we find out. Oh, my God. But the friends that he meets, he says, these are your friends and you're giving my story, are her friends that they spend a lot of time with. And so, he is feeling like she's giving away his intimacy in a way. But it's also that she's very intimate with them and he isn't. And they are her longtime friends. But the guy she has the affair with is an American. Not a Frenchman, but somebody she knew from, like, summer school a million years ago, who was her TA or something, a little bit older. And he lives, he's a longtime academic. And so he's sort of satisfying her academic, intellectual side and the French literature side. That's true. But it's not a French guy. And she goes and has these dalliances in the afternoon and then has to set her watch and get up and go and meet her husband again.
So it sounds like the richness of the book or the more detail and thorough treatment of things in the book was more fulfilling than...
Well, it's more satisfying because you get more sense of her struggle right around the time they're having this one-year anniversary, and she's already been having the affair for a while, and then he finds out, but he guesses.
Before the first year?
It's just like right around the time of the first anniversary, but it is like the movie is like the book in that she refers to the guy
out of the blue,
and he says, oh my God, you've been having an affair. And all of a sudden, all these things go click, click, click for him about... her being missing in action and inattentive and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we understand from the movie? We understood that he was going to take some time off and go see the world and fulfill the the dream of the guy who told his father. Well, how did the movie start? Because I'm not there, like, just a couple minutes late.
The offering of the wife to the man who comes from America.
Okay, so I did see most of that because I didn't.
Isn't that how it starts?
No.
In her house?
Doesn't it start with the accident?
And then the train.
The accident is starting, you see him getting on the train, and then just at the moment that the accident is beginning to happen, it switches and goes to the betrothal. And then later there is the full accident and you see all that.
Right, so the scene of the guy with his metal suitcase.
The first scene on the train?
Yeah. Yes.
The first scene on the train.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Good. Okay. So, I mean, yeah. But it is the case in the book, like in the movie, that he doesn't know, Gogol doesn't know about his father's, the detail of his father's accident and why he's named this for a very long time. But he does know before his father dies.
Right.
So that part is more or less like the book.
So, Rudy, did you think that the cultural clashes and conflicts?
It wasn't deep enough, perhaps, or dealt with to any great extent. But I think there are little clashes all along the film, from the very beginning, from the time the shoes are there and the woman puts her feet in there, in the shoes of the man she's going to meet and marry and live with, and. The language and her recitation in English, why would it have to be in English? It could have been in Hindi or whatever language they spoke.
Bengali. These are Bengali people.
Yes. Right, and then her learning how to deal with machines that she didn't have, the washing machines, and what she did with that. That's a learning process. That's a new culture and a new habit and a new thing that comes along. And then on and on. And when the woman, the blonde girl, the girlfriend, comes to the house for the first time. Hi, Nancy. Not Mrs. Fishberg. Hi, Nancy. And the wife reacts. Right. I mean, the mother reacts.
Right.
Okay.
Ashok.
One more.
Ashok. Right.
Yes. So and more. There's more, and the scene that we talked about earlier. That's another one. Her wearing black and their colors. And her coming up with new plans when he's in total grief. I thought.
Let's go away anyway.
Yeah, let's go.
Why are you insensitive?
That's very.
Going to say, Fatima?
Oh, adding more, and I think I mentioned this before, but when we were talking the other day.
Yeah.
Also, another cultural clash was when they went to India, and she was so happy to be back in her country, having these people caring for her in the street, and her son was, but mother, look, how do you have human beings
carrying you, pulling you in,
and then he started talking about all these human rights and very Americanized. He was so Americanized, and she was in her environment. She was right there, happy to be back and do her things and all that. So I was laughing because she was looking forward to that. And for him, it was like, my goodness, it was like, I don't know.
The violation.
Violation of human rights, violation of
American.
And then I also saw, being in the United States, a very long period of time, that separation, like, he wanted to, I mean, he was born there, his English, everything, he was American, regardless of his heritage, but then he wanted to live like that, so he was kind of separated from her mother when I mean separated, like he was not in touch as he used to.
He didn't call her.
He was, you know, like very American. Want to be away of his mom, and so I think it was another part of him trying to be what, but he wanted. he was used to, he was born there, so he wanted to be aware of his heritage in a way. So I think it was a transition of youngsters that goes through, and then later on it was more kind of forced identity that
reconnects.
Because sometimes I feel that that would happen, but later after when you age. But I think this was more rapidly forced when his dad died. Mm-hmm. He had to kind of reconnect. Okay, so where am I? I think. Mm-hmm. Because of that rush.
You don't agree, Steve?
I don't think
he went through that big of a transformation. I think he was pretty much the same after his father died. I mean, he was willing to...
All the same.
So I think, you know, when he broke up with the Caucasian girlfriend, to me, I think he just couldn't be with her anymore because he felt so much guilt about the way he treated his mother, because he didn't spend any time with his mother and all these things. And so he couldn't have her in his life anymore. And I think he really liked her.
Well, then that's cultural again.
I'm probably reading into it because I more than the movie, you know. So I think he liked her a lot.
Yeah.
And she was
liked her who
the magazines.
I think he eventually would have married her, probably, almost.
Maybe. But even without the culture clash of the funeral, there was a thing about her which was hyper privileged, and where he took advantage of living in it when he could. And ignoring his family of origin.
Living in with the family.
It was grand. He did live with them. His mother called him in the middle of the night, and she didn't get him because he really wasn't home in his funny little funky apartment, you know. But would he have married Maxine? It's not clear because he seemed like he was partaking of the wealth of America, but he didn't really, it wasn't so much about the two of them, in a way, you know? Mm-hmm. There wasn't
she was more a symbol to him,
kind of,
or a conduit, or something like that.
Less, maybe not a symbol, but more of a one of those other terms,
I heard somewhere, who read the book told me that he does go back to Maxine. But she is engaged with somebody else.
Well, eventually, yeah. I think that's true. But not after his wife. I mean, it may
before
have...
Before his wife.
I think it was before his wife, yeah. Hmm. And she had moved on, you know. She couldn't wait for this month-long or however-long mourning period. Too much.
But that's another thing.
That's a culture clash.
That I'll say.
Yeah.
So I think there are lots of little things that maybe are not dealt with in a big way, but they're all there.
I saw those things. It's not that I didn't see those things. I think I can even think of a couple of other things that haven't been mentioned as well. But again, I think maybe it was just the extent of the treatment of it that didn't maybe go as far as I would have wanted it to. You know, to really examine what. You know, the implications of these things. It just sort of moved right on, kind of along in that flack sort of way. I hear what you're saying, but I really wanted that kind of a film to you know, address these kinds of things.
How far could it have, should it have gone in your, what direction could it go that would be more convincing in that? Line.
I don't know. I'm not sure how to answer that.
Or is there a film that you know that does that?
I'll let me ponder that.
So the other thing that's more well developed, and it is. I mean, I think there is a flatness in the book as well as in the film, and that is, for example, this couple come from India. He's already been studying in the States. She's new to the States. Mm-hmm. Who do they meet? Who do they spend their social time with? Certainly not any Americans. It's only the Bengali expatriates who they make connections with. And these are not necessarily people that they had any other connection with except that they're Bengali expatriates.
In New York,
New York, Connecticut, New Jersey, up and down the Eastern Seaboard, these people are like family, but it's nobody that they would have chosen to spend time with if they were home. right? They wouldn't. They would have spent time
necessarily,
with real
people. Necessarily.
Except she had her Caucasian friend at the library, and that seems to be her only friend outside of her society. Her,
that's right.
Yeah.
And she didn't make her. I mean, that was well portrayed from the book, that she didn't make big connections with her neighbors or the other moms at the school or any other way.
One thing I connected very strongly is that when she is looking, she's calling the hospital, calling and calling and calling and calling the hospital. This is something we live forever in this country, and that is, and I've already spelled my name 15 times.
Yeah, that was nice. But
that was strong.
Yeah.
A strong connection for me.
Yeah.
She was so
You don't
beautiful.
Have that so much, Mr. Anderson.
But she was so beautiful, that actress.
Yes.
But, you know, they aged him, but they really didn't age
she
her.
Exactly.
Yes.
She looked older than his sister.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
She looked older than 17. Yeah. Right.
Well, they should. I'm sorry.
She looks quite a bit older.
Don't hit her with a ball now, just because she wants to speak. It's right here.
She looked older than she was supposed to as a bride.
Right.
And then she pretty much stayed the same age, mm-hmm. right until...
They gave her one little gray streak.
But what could you do? I mean, I noticed it, but it somehow didn't bother me too much.
No, it didn't bother me too much, no, but...
But
you
she
not too much.
But you did kind of notice that it's like she's not aging at all, and especially that they made him age. They made him look mm-hmm. older. They purposely, you can tell by makeup, made him look older as the movie went on.
Yeah.
But they didn't do that with her.
A little bit, not too much. Not very much. She was only supposed to be 45 when she went back.
I know.
Home.
I figured that. I sort of sat there calculating.
She's a young woman.
She must have had her, you know, Gogol when she was 18 or something, 18 or 19.
Right.
And it's possible.
Sure.
Well,
what about? Do we want to? Did anyone think about why Gogol? Why the overcoat? You know.
That's what you read it recently now.
I haven't been able to make that connection very clearly because I can't remember in what context he says. He says something about we all come from the overcoat.
That's a quote.
Whose?
The father says it.
No, it's the father was quoting.
Right.
And he's quoting from, I'm sorry, I don't remember which Russian author, Tolstoy or somebody, said... that we all come from under a Gogol's overcoat, and he's referring to the fact that the overcoat it represented something quite new in Russian literature when it was published.
The overcoat?
Story.
And
the overcoat?
No.
But the story was new.
The story?
Well, the way Gogol wrote, that and Dead Souls, you know.
That's what we're reading now.
Yeah, his masterpiece. Well, the overcoat is a short story. It's actually a long story.
So back to the overcoat. I made a guess about what you were going to say, so now you should say.
Okay.
What was novel about the short story?
Oh, gosh. Gogol had this kind of rather black humorous sensibility, and he was sort of supposedly the first real injection of realistic fiction. But of course, he wasn't actually very real. He wasn't completely realism oriented because he has a fair amount of black humor and sort of wild imagination in his own way. But he was very, very influential on all the writers who came after him, which is why that's the essence of that remark.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the film, we all came from Gogol's overcoat. You know, what's that about?
Well, there was extreme poverty in the story.
That's true. In the overcoat, the guy is very poor.
And he doesn't survive.
No.
He doesn't survive, and then he comes back after death. to haunt the people who did him
wouldn't
harm.
Help him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. Like, why?
The significance of Gogol.
Why Gogol? Yeah. Why this guy was so taken by Gogol.
Still looking for that.
Well, and then the son was very upset that he was named Gogol.
Well, he thought it was a funny-sounding name, and people made fun of it.
Well, didn't they? He learned about Gogol in school eventually, though.
Yes, and that... That
came
scene.
Out, it's like, why the hell did you name me after this?
Wacky,
depressed,
yeah. Not very well socialized individual.
But then you go back to it, he kind of picked his name when he was a little boy.
As a very young child.
Childly, they were going to name him something else, but Nicole. He says, no, I am, and he wanted to be Gogol.
Nikhil, right. Yeah, well, that's an Indian custom, though, is that what the mother explained, that the child doesn't get its real name until it's... I seem to remember, the little I remember of the book that I read, that they were waiting for the grandmother
to send her,
she died before she actually is able to
do that.
Yeah, they keep waiting for the letter.
And the letter
is lost, and by the time they get back to the family and say, we haven't received the letter, they say, oh, too bad, grandmother died. And so, you know.
So they never know what the name is.
They never know what grandmother's intentions toward him were, and they've now given him the birth certificate with Gogol.
And
so they have to choose a good name without grandmother's intervention, which is very modern and disconnected from the homeland, you know.
There's another little cultural thing when they're at the hospital. Like, yeah. We'll give you the name later. They cannot leave the hospital without the child's name.
Baby boy, Ganguly. No, I like the culture clash thing was... when she first arrives and he goes off to work, she eats what's in the cupboard. Rice Krispies,
and she
red chili,
and she puts it all together? I was waiting for her to add milk.
No,
just spices.
Rice Krispies. Rice Krispies are so boring. Right, but when she first took the package, I thought, oh, it's going to be brown sugar, but it isn't. No, it's red pepper, yeah.
Any more? I have something to say, but about something.
Go ahead.
Something.
Oh, you want to turn it off?
Okay, I guess we did it.
They're short. So.